feel like the altar becomes the anchoring point for my being to connect into, to say, okay, my directive comes from this space. My directive comes from just witnessing and listening. Like, those are, I would say, the two main energies that would really take anybody's altar practice to the next level. Witnessing and listening. And the altar speaks in very subtle ways, and sometimes not so subtle.
Welcome home to the Lindsay Martin Ellis Experience. This is your virtual sanctuary where we keep it light while going deep and ground spirituality into the reality of what it means to be human. We explore consciousness, evolution, alternative health, all things truth, taboo, and beyond. There are no boxes or rules here. Tune in each week where myself and raw and real guests will be sharing our lived experience through a multifaceted lens to support you no matter where you're at on your journey. This is a sacred space where spiritual principles and universal wisdom are accessible, simple, and digestible, because all are welcome here. It is your birthright to remember the magic and miracle that you are. You ready to be inspired? Let's do this, love. This episode is brought to you by Altar Work, The Initiation, which is a 7-month journey from equinox to equinox into the sacred, hosted by my dear sister, Reggie River Bear. And I have been personally and directly impacted and blessed by Reggie's body of work as it relates to all things devotion and altars in particular. She has this beautiful way of keeping things practical and simple, and has also this amazing ability to eloquently express the beauty of what an altar represents in our material world and how that helps us to bridge the mystical realms into our everyday lives. This is why I'm such a stand for Reggie and her body of work, especially as it relates to the anchor point of the altar itself. I'm just so honored and blessed that she gets to be a part of today's episode, that she has gone to the depths of her being to create this amazing course for humanity during this wild time to be alive on the planet. And she has generously given 10% off with code LME10 to any of our beloved community that wants to jump on board and say yes to this initiation, this journey into all that is sacred, this portal that is the altar. So if this is speaking to you, especially after you tune into the episode, I invite you to jump on in. I promise you won't regret it. LME10 for 10% off. The link is in the show notes. Enjoy the episode and much love. Hello, beautiful humans. Welcome back to the show. I have the honor of introducing Reggie River Bear to the Lindsay Martin Ellis Experience. Do you want to say hello to our beloved community?
Hello, beloved community. What a blessing. Yeah.
So I'll definitely get into the journey of how we cross paths and how you entered my world and blew my mind, my heart, and my soul wide open in the best way. And we're going to talk a lot about how all of that transpired. But I would love to just hear from your heart through the vessel that is you. Who do you be in the world? Like, how do you describe yourself in 500 words or less? Like, what? Like, I just would love to hear. Who are you?
Oosh, that's a great question. My birth name, I'll start there, came on this planet. Bloop. My birth name is Regine, which means queen. And I've been learning to remember that with every moment. So that's my journey of remembrance, what my parents gifted me coming here. And just right before we started, I was thinking about the place where I was born, and it is a magical star-shaped city. It's like a mandala of earth and water and earth and water in the shape of a star. And the inner city is the shape of an egg. And right in the middle is Rainbow Street. And I was born on Rainbow Street. And I was thinking about this earth is very new. I'm Dutch. I'm from the Netherlands. And that a lot of the land, the physical land there has been created, right? The water's been taken out and it's been created. And I was just thinking earlier, like, wow, it's literally physically new earth. So wow. I was born on new earth in a star-shaped city on Rainbow Street to incredible, incredible parents. And that as that magic, like that alignment, I think set me up for a really beautiful life that I'm very blessed for. And so everything in my life has always been informing me about the diversity of life, different cultures, different people, different point of views, different flavors. For anybody who's familiar with the Gene Keys, my life's work, and it's very much about diversity. So I am a lover of many things. I'm a lover of many foods and many peoples and many cultures and sounds and stories. And that translates into everything that I get to share. And I have a deep love for the earth and for pre-religious studies and getting to like the root of things and the base of things and kind of unraveling the compression chamber that we've been operating in as a people and just creating some more space and some more breath and more play and remembering the beauty on this planet and our ways to connect with spirit are infinite. So all my music and offerings and ceremonies and all this kind of stuff is all designed from my heart, my being, to just connect to one another, connect to the bigger picture, and to just remember that at the end of the day, there's so much beauty here, so much beauty and joy and goodness. And that life on earth is interesting, you know, it's full spectrum. So as a being, I think my purpose, what I feel in my heart of why I was constructed and created the way that I was, is to create anchoring points for people of beauty and intimacy and connection, and to do that to the best of my ability.
Thank you. I learned so much more about you in that share as well, which is so beautiful. And that is how I receive you. And there's so much humility. And so you first came into my field in the spring of 2023 with the fluorescence container. And I didn't know much about you, but when I initially connected with you, I felt all of those energetics. Like I felt the star beingness. I felt the Rainbow Street. I felt the connection to nature and also this deep humility and this deep presence where you weren't trying to be anything. You weren't trying to be a teacher. There wasn't a hierarchy. It was you sharing from your heart, sharing from your lived experience. And there was this moment of like, yes, like, thank you for reminding me of how I get to serve and how I desire to teach from this place of sharing, not from this place of hierarchy or knowing more. Mm-hmm. It was like the gnosis that you are reverberated, right? And it was like an activation being in your presence in that way. And so much has shifted. It's been almost 2 years, which, can you believe that?
Crazy. Time is flying by.
And I learned a lot about everything that you shared around beauty and connection and intimacy, but particularly we're going to dive deep into altar work today because I know that is one of your jams and one of the things that I do believe that you came into this, onto this planet to help anchor into all beings and to really come back into right relation. And I remember hearing you, I re-listened to that podcast episode that you had with Blue on the power. Was it called The Power of Prayer? That is?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And so something has been emerging for me around right. So I really want to start. We're going to go deep. My peeps like to go deep, right? Right.
Let's go. I'm ready.
Versus right relation. And I grew up in a Catholic upbringing. And so there's been a massive deprogramming around what it means to have a relationship with God, Source, Mother Mary, Jesus. And what you have continued to help me come home to is in the repatterning of right relationship. And so I feel like when I learned so many of the teachings that you shared, I took notes. It's like a shrine, worship, bless you, religion, right. And then I hear altar, devotion, thank you, right relationship. So I'm noticing, I feel, at least for me, what you're helping me through is like the repatterning of those codes that are no longer serving, right? Like that served a purpose in time, and we are in a different layer of consciousness, a different point in time. So I would love to just let you kind of riff and go there, because it's been dropping in even deeper ways, right relation versus right, and how it feels versus how it looks, or what it's, or what somebody told you this is supposed to feel like or look like or be for you.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for putting words to that in that way. So clear, like right versus right relation. Yeah. Wow. Well, this is literally, I feel like the foundation of my personal journey. And therefore, you know, I've heard so many times you teach what you most need to learn. And I think that that comes down to, you know, the mirroring. Some of my greatest teachers have come from Hawaii and work with the Ho'oponopono tradition, which is very rich and deep and very, very closely related to this, what catalyzed a lot of my research and a lot of my own personal unearthing, which is that if it is out there, it is in here. Mm. Our heart is a little projector and our life is the screen. And so there cannot be anything on the screen that's not coming from the projector. And this is a huge thing to like, let sink into the system when you really, really, really start to work with that level of responsibility. And from my acceptance of these teachings, like, okay, I see the truth of that, that resonates for me. I want to be clean. Then I had to start looking at the world. What is in this world? I'm Virgo South Node. And so I was raised with very strict ceremony, like Hindu Vedic ceremonies. And they're very particular, right? There's five petals on this flower. There's three candles on this. It's very meticulous. And it's very easy to slip into wrong or right ways to do this.
And I'm a Virgo sun, so thank you for helping me get clarity on that too.
Exactly.
So like I want to do it right. I want to do it the right way.
Exactly. So in her fullness, she's the high priestess, right? Yes. And just the keeper of detail. But I don't know if I can say this word, but in my shadow experience of her, I call her the rigid bitch. And it's
all, just yes. Everything is sacred on this podcast. So I love it. I might steal that, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome to. So I had to start looking at the world and looking at my triggers, looking at the things that really hit me deep. And one of those, if not the one and only, has been religion. Mm. And I grew up in a very eclectic, wonderful household where we had a spiritual center with the Vedic ceremony. So we had that very actively in our home. My uncle lived with us for many years and he's half Native American. So he brought all the drums and the animal spirits and the smudging and the monthly rituals to cleanse the house. My mom's best friend is a Christian priest. And so we would go to his church and to his sermons. My best friends were Jewish growing up. So we would be with them. And then I went to high schools with a lot of Muslim communities. So I got very sandwiched in between all of these different ways of connecting with God, and then obviously nature. And the thing that I noticed as a kid was just the right and wrong, right? The right and wrong that comes from religious. And so being older and taking on this responsibility in myself of like, okay, let me look at all of these things that I don't know how to be in right relation with. Right? Pono, the word pono, Hawaii means to be in right relation. And this was the main thing that presented itself to me, was particularly Christianity. Mm. And so I thought, you know what? Okay. I am going to go study and I'm going to devote myself to finding the beauty here. I'm going to devote myself to unearthing what I can of the beauty so that I can remember it in my own heart, even if I'm not practicing or I have no desire to practice. I want to clean this piece in my own heart. And so it's been a deep journey, and it continues to be a deep journey. But the beautiful thing that this has challenged me to do is exactly what you're talking about, is opening up these big conversations in myself, in my work, in my own relationships, and to know that at the end of the day, I believe in unity consciousness. I believe that we are one. I believe that the times are shifting and we're moving from, I had the blessing of being in Chichen Itza for the 2012 ceremonies with the elders there, when we had the shifting of the Mayan calendar. And this was the main thread that was being talked about. We were coming out of these 24,000 years of this particular mindset, and then there's little chunks of that. And the chunk that is most recent is black and white. You are this religion, you are this race, you are this color, you are this social pocket, social economic pocket, whatever the little labels are. And now we're moving into unity consciousness, one. And so in that unity consciousness, what I feel as my truth, and as a truth that I'm practicing to embody more deeply, is that, okay, if there's no right and wrong, but I have this, I need to look at it. If I have a problem with something, and that something doesn't have a problem with me, then it's on me. I need to look at that. And this languaging, what you're bringing about right, wrong, devotion versus worship, I think this is a huge key for really retraining my own psyche, my own consciousness, my own heart. And then in the way that I share, hopefully sending out that ripple, that just in the change of the language and what it does to our subconscious, what it does to our body, what it does to the way that we relate and see. You know, there's so many cool studies around the way that we speak our words, or even the language that we're speaking, how it alters the way that we process the world. And so language is an incredibly powerful tool. And so there can be somebody in Christianity who is devoted with the purest heart and the most beautiful expression. And there can be somebody in, let's say, like New Earth consciousness, who is still holding the rigid things of religion is wrong and this is bad and you guys are doing it wrong and that's outdated. So that lens doesn't live left or right. That lens doesn't live anywhere but in our heart. And so I feel that I can operate in my highest when I am operating from this point of view, from devotion, that feels gentle to me, that feels open to me. And so then the next layer is, okay, what are the qualities that I want to embody? What are the qualities that I witness that are functional and beautiful and fruitful, not just for me, but for my family, for my community, and then for the larger communities? You know, we touched a little bit on just both of our connections to Mary, and she has been an incredible ally for me in all of this, and a big, big, big teacher. So the rosary came to me in my search for beauty. I found the rosary, and it was really strong, clear that I needed to learn how to do these prayers. And I remember the first time that I said the Our Father out loud from this perspective, and had so much resistance. I didn't like the words. I didn't like this word evil. And I just said, all right, you know what? I'm going to pray this for a year every day and see what happens and see what I can learn here. And it taught me and it softened me and it opened up to me. And I feel like this is a real key, and now I love it. And I feel like this is a real key to operating from a space of beauty, from a space of devotion, from a space of connection, is I can't connect with you if I'm judging the shit out of you. I just can't. And so my job, and again, my gene keys, my purpose, the shadow is judgment. So I got that right there as a main thing for me to work on, And I find it in these places where, you know, where there's a lot of pain body collectively. Yeah. And so it is my job to clean myself. It is my job to clean my heart. It is my job to clean my lens, my perspective, the way that I see. That is my job. And so I take that quite seriously. And I play with it and I make it as beautiful and light as I can. And sometimes it takes me on completely radical, deep rides into very deep pockets. Like the past couple of weeks have been deeply processing the witch hunts and growing up on the actual bridge where they would throw my sisters off, and recognizing that there's 6 generations of women that were murdered, and that is in our DNA. That's not that long ago. And so when I find these pockets of really experiencing it beyond the story, you know, beyond the fact, but actually like, woof, that lives in my psyche, that lives in my body. And the reaction that wants to come from the belly of the beast, which is they did that.
Yeah.
And then just taking a pause and recognizing, well, one, that ain't going to change nothing. You know, that's not going to change anything. So what can change something? Me. I can change something. I can soften. I can ask for forgiveness. I can give forgiveness. And I can open my arms to all of it. And that is a practice. But this is my practice that cultivates this way of beauty and devotion and community and connection and returning to the sacred. At the end of the day, it's always a search for what is beneath the stories, what is beneath the pain body, what is beneath the innate suffering that is just a part of being on planet Earth. Nobody escapes life in its fullness and its richness. And so if I'm going to be here, then I'm here for all of it. And if I'm going to make a contribution, I want that contribution to be joyful and beautiful, not in denial of any of it, certainly not. But I've had so many moments of questioning, like, what's the point? Like, looking at history and looking at the world, we're just cycling all of these stories, war, peace, war, peace, war, peace, disease, death, blah, blah. Like, everything is always constantly happening. We freeze over, we melt, we get too hot. It's just all of it's always happening. And so when I've reached these moments in myself of like, does it even matter? You know, does it even matter anything that we do? And the only thing that really helps me is just think, well, if it doesn't, then what am I going to do with my time? Well, then I just get to play and like get to be together and create more beauty. And maybe it does matter in the end, and maybe it doesn't. And I'll never really know, you know, to be honest. I feel like my connection with God, my connection with the universe, my trust in spirit, my trust in my guidance and the way that I live my life is so deep. Mm. I can't find the end of it. It always pulls me through. And that being said, I don't know anything. I don't know. You know, it's just my experience. And that experience has brought me a sense of safety and a sense of belonging and a sense of home, and that I can share with people. And if they can get a little exhale from that, then that's worth it.
Mm. Thank you. The way that you just articulated our soul journey in human form is very eloquent, right? It's like every question begins to be answered with another question. That's what I'm finding in my journey. And there's a softening in that. And there's almost a relief, like there's radical responsibility and also this relief in it's not mine to carry at the same time. And it can be very disorienting and very confusing. And so thank you for sharing that. And my question for you is, well, first of all, the alchemy of what you created with this invitation into feeling the witch hunts and the witch wound that runs deep in the core. of all women who roam this planet. And I believe it's all beings, right? Like we're all connected to what I believe was essentially the Holocaust of women. And it wasn't that long ago and it's not talked about. Mm-hmm. And we're feeling it and we're seeing this resurgence. And I mean, when you shared that song on Instagram and that's how we reconnected, it was an anthem from that radical responsibility in what is my part and how do I get to show up and how do I get to alchemize this and how do I transmute victim consciousness into Joan of Arc energy, into courage, right? Into like leveraging that and catalyzing into that into something more meaningful. And it inspired me. And it's like, that feels like play to me, right? It's like, if I can be in that energy, what a world would it be that we would live in. So I didn't realize, you know, I know that you kind of mentioned in your post. So if you haven't seen it, I think it's pinned on your Instagram, riverbear_medicine, right?
That's right.
I know it's blowing up on the socials. So clearly that was the alchemy of what I believe your soul was transmuting, that hurt into beauty, that pain into magic. And the amount of people that are resonating with what you created because of your willingness to go there. And I think that's a very, very powerful conversation that we get to dive into. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to share anything around what you were moving through in your process and what's been happening on the other side. And then I think it'll be fun to kind of go delving into the altar work, because I imagine your altar has played a role in this.
It certainly has. Yeah. Thank the heavens for music. I'll start with saying that. And I am so incredibly grateful that gets the kit, because it's always the last piece when it integrates, like, broop, there's the song. And then I know, okay, that part is done. Yeah.
By the way, I'm singing it. I've been dancing to it. Yeah. I'm going to actually post it. I've been a little shy about it, but I'm like, I've been moving to it. I recorded a couple of videos of me like just moving to it on the land here. And it's in my, I wake up singing. It's in me. It's inside of me, in that living technology body of wisdom. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. I was so scared to post that, which is exactly why I posted it, because I was aware that it's just my story. And then to have this response from so many women that just resonated, and yeah, I feel like I made new friends, and it was just the whole beautiful, beautiful moment to feel the alchemy of it. I think one of the starting places for that story is when you have a prayer, when I have a prayer, when we have a prayer to clean something, then it's very natural for that thing to present itself so we can make new choices, so we can be really embodied, right? I can have an idea, I want to change something, but until I'm in the fire with it, I don't really know if I'm actually able to show up to the way that I would like to. So this happened for me with the faith story and with Christianity. And I got this year exposed to just some radical layers that I have heard about, that I have seen on TV, but that I didn't even really, to be honest, I didn't realize that radical thread is a real thing. And it came really close in my personal life, and it scared me. It scared me in the sense that it's like a wildfire. You know, there's no logic in that space. There's no rules in that space. There's no law. It's like a lawless land of hatred.
Yeah.
And I took the most of the year just very quiet and just listening, like, wow, okay, I've made this prayer and I teach the rosary. And when I do that, part of what I share is I do this because I know that when we say these prayers from a place of purity, from a place of beauty, that they can strengthen in their truth and they can start to help clean up this collective wound of the religion, So it's an offering.
Yeah.
And so in doing that, the wound came closer to present itself. And I won't go into the details of it. But yeah, I got an up close look and I realized that in me building this 7-month altar work journey and it being very pre-religious, earthy, there's elements that can feel more shamanic, like we're working with the animal spirits and we're working with the directions and all of this, all of a sudden, this whole year, I got to put on the glasses of somebody who sees that as evil, somebody who sees that as witchcraft, somebody who current time sees that as something that needs to be eliminated from the earth. And so in getting the call to really gather all of the gifts I've been given and to pour it all into this 7-month initiation, simultaneously, I was presented with the epitome of the mindset of what would have been the witch hunt.
Yeah. Eradicating you and your teachings and your body of knowledge and wisdom.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I got to really work with that. And by the time it came around to actually sharing, I completely had to just take a moment to recognize that I was really scared of the consequences. I didn't know what was going to happen if I would share. I didn't know what would happen to, you know, the people who are involved in the story. And I had to choose real time in my body, in my heart, in my womb, that I believe in a new story. And that new story can only manifest if I share from a place of that just true for me. I'm not doing it to prove a point. I'm not doing it to counter. I am just having to follow my directive and trust in my own guidance and trust that this is the medicine and that there can be healing, there can be union, there can be togetherness, there can be softening at the end of it, but that can only happen if I stay true to myself. And so all of this is rushing through my body, rushing through my heart, my mind, and then being completely stretched with the energy that it took behind the scenes to create a program like this and set it up in the way that we have. And you know, there's days where I'm on the computer from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. just going. So there's a big emotional energy happening. There's a big physical energy happening. And this song comes in. The witches are alive, or the goddess is alive, and the witch, and you burned us. And the text is, it's beautiful, but it's also very confronting. And when it started coming out, I'm like, no, 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 no. I don't want to sing that. This is not the time, guys. But of course, it's the perfect time. It's the perfect time for a song like that to come out. And all of my little voices went off, like, what is your dad going to think about that? Or people don't even like, what are you talking about? This is no longer happening, right? Quote unquote. And it just didn't matter. The song came out of me like a damn freight train. It just galloped out of my being. And so by the time it was time to share about altar work, the only, like, they gave me one option, they being my team. They're like, you shall share the song and then the doors will open for you to share the altar work. And so I felt the truth of that. It's like, if I share about this altar work and this journey without acknowledging, not even publicly, just for me, the depth of what it took for me to create this and to move through all these pieces to come here with a clean heart, then I'm not doing it any justice. And so I sat down and I recorded the song and I posted it. And as soon as it was out, I realized the power of my fear story. I got to really get really clean about what are the details of this fear, like deep, deep, deep. There was three like main points that were, so I confronted that or addressed that with with my beloved and my fears about that. And he was like, great, just do it. So I did. And
gotta love the sacred masculine. My husband's the same way. I'm like, damn it. Why is it so easy for you to just be like, okay, now it's time. Go ahead. Post it.
Oh, so refreshing.
Like, go ahead.
Yeah. And so here we are, you know, it opened up our connection and many beautiful conversations. And it really just felt like the moment of coming out of the process, coming out of this conversation, letting it be. And realizing that, again, like, what is my responsibility? My responsibility is to follow my directive. And that's as simple as that. And this was my directive and everything's fine.
Yeah.
Like, there were no consequences that I was afraid of that would happen. And so I got to also just, again, feel the truth of that. Like, always the scariest moment is before the actual thing. And then after, it's usually not that scary.
Yeah, the mental chatter lead up to, well, because it does it in, I would imagine in your body, it felt like I am going to die if I post this video and expose yourself in that way. And what a beautiful, I mean, I'm inspired by it with my own work. I mean, I've been moving, like, how I alchemize is through embodiment and dance, and I've been dancing to the song and moving it. And honestly, you want to know what I got? And now I'm like, shit, I shouldn't be saying this because I'm probably going to get to hold myself to it. Is as part of like marketing this episode is show your alchemy of the song in your own way. That's true for you. And it's a stretch, and it's I'm like, wow, Reggie has the same thought, right? It's like, what will my dad think, or what look, I'm going to post this, and are people, you know, what are my in-laws going to think, or the people who don't understand me and that already call me weird and that already, and the groupings that I already feel misunderstood by. And I want to come back to the altar, because one thing that I gleaned from your wisdom on altar work was the two-way conversation related to devotion and having an altar versus the shrine, the worshiping of, you know, that one-way conversation. And what you just expressed, I believe, is what so many of us are seeking is, how do I know? How do I know how to be a disciple of the divine? How do I know what my truth is? And you're expressing that, the unwavering faith and trust and willingness to die and show up and face it and feel it over and over again.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes, it's always there, but it becomes clearer and clearer. And I had an altar, and I remember Blue talking about this. I was like, yeah, I had an altar. And it was literally like, all right, Reggie told me to do this. So it was back into my old Catholic school principles. I'm like, all right, I'm doing my homework and I got the directions on here and it's fine. And it took time to really be in that right relation. And some days it was like, I don't hear anything, or I don't feel anything. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm fumbling my way through this. And it's that practice that you speak of. And I've moved several times. I've been in quite a portal since Florence, since 2023. I've had a baby. I've moved. I've been under five roofs. It's been quite an initiation of the life that I consciously chose. And I've got little mini altars everywhere. And I've got a Mother Mary outside by this waterfall on the property. And I just adorn her with flowers and she speaks to me. And it's like, I just played and I fumbled and I was like, okay, sometimes the elements are in there, sometimes they're not. And what does it feel like for me? So let's talk about that two-way conversation. And I think it's also important to have some sense of structure, right? Because that foundation is important. And then we get to flow with, all right, what does this feel like for me? And how can I start to practice being in devotion with that two-way? I think you call it like telephone line to the divine.
The hotline.
Yeah. So let's go there.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I think first off, just kudos for you for being glorious and shiny after many moves and stepping in as a mother. And
I've been in a portal myself.
Yeah. Wow. Respect. Thank you. I see my altar as a relationship, like how I would view a relationship with a person in the sense that you can have an immediate connection. It can be easeful, but it always, no matter what, takes time to build trust and to learn what's available and what's not and where the growth is. And one of the things that we know from our own relationships is that time and devotion and just being there and being consistent generates trust, generates a conversation. So similar with altar, you know, some of us are easy access to the subtle realms and hearing all the things and seeing all the beings. And some of us are not designed like that initially. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where your current experience is at. What matters is that the word devotion, I love this word so much because when we devote ourselves to something, it's saying yes, no matter what. Right? I am devoted to my altar no matter what. I am here every morning, every evening. I have it in my pocket. I travel with it. It's my devotion. It is me saying, yes, I am available for learning from you. One of the coolest stories that I learned from my aunt, who's a big inspiration in my life, she's talking about Mother Teresa and how Mother Teresa used to, as a child and as a young woman, have very intimate experiences with Jesus. And he would come to her and so beautiful. And then once she started her work, she never saw him again. Mm. And she spent most of her life in heartbreak, but in devotion.
Mm.
And this made such an impact on me because, you know, we are ever-changing beings and the universe is always changing and adjusting. So we all know from our everyday, there's moments where joy is just there and the trust is there and it's good in life. And then there's moments where it's hard to find and where the connection is hard to find and where we don't hear or feel or see anything and the guidance seems thin. And it's in those moments actually really begins. Mm-hmm. Because then do I jump ship because this isn't working? Or is that the moment where I say, okay, no matter what, I am available for this. And that is a choice. And that choice then becomes devotion.
Mm.
And so I am here every morning. I drink my tea here every morning. I do my prayers here every morning. And some days I'm super distracted and my head's going and I feel like I need to get to work and I don't. I just sit and I do what I do every day. And the next day I can be super in it and I feel like I'm in the most gorgeous ceremony and everything's flowing and my heart is open. And then I get to start my day and it fluxes. And I think that's normal because we are, you know, we are beings made of many things. And so I just want to erase the idea that there's only one feeling to have, or once we get there, then yeah, we're always connected. I think that Mother Teresa story is really that. It's like she is literally an icon for in the name of the Lord, but she spent 40 years of her life heartbroken because she never heard him again.
Mm.
And so, and yet it never wavered her faith or her actions or her service. She was so determined and devoted to that was what was true for her. The altar for me is like just like portal. It's like, here I am, here's divinity. And obviously we don't need a physical space. However, we are physical beings. We are in a physical space. And so it helps our mind, our heart to have this beautiful portal. And on top of that, once we start to really feed our altar, meaning when we first open an altar, if you just have your beautiful things, then it's just a collection of beautiful things, which is nice on its own. However, when we show up to it day and time again, we start to energetically feed this thing. And this is measurable, right? We're so cool with science now to know, like, okay, if we pour energy into something, it starts to vibrate differently. So from this perspective, for me, I feel like the altar becomes the anchoring point for my being to connect into, say, okay, my directive comes from this space. My directive comes from just witnessing and listening. Like those are, I would say, the two main energies that would really
take anybody's altar practice to the next level, witnessing and listening. And the altar speaks in very subtle ways and sometimes not so subtle. I was moving through a big rage in my body and I had my altar to the left of me. And I remember I was on a call with a friend and I thought I saw my candle like flicker a little bit as we were talking. And I looked and my whole altar lit on fire. Okay, not so subtle. I was on fire. My altar went on fire. Ooh. We were doing prayers when the fires were now happening in LA. We're doing water prayers and we had a flood in the house, right? So our whole house is an altar, it's a temple. So it's learning to listen to these little things. And those are ways, that's one of the ways that the altar speaks to us. The thing that feels really important to mention as well is that we are so, just by the nature of the time that we live in, it takes conscious effort to slow down. And a lot of the subtle energies, when we're, especially when we're wanting to cultivate them, once it's open, it usually comes in pretty hot. But when we're wanting to cultivate listening, when we're wanting to cultivate like being able to receive from the altar, like, okay, I'm here with my energy, my time, my flowers, but I would like a little guidance. Like I need a sign or I would love some insight on this thing. We need to be available to listen. And this energy happens in the subtle realms. And so it's having a daily practice or a devotion is in training our being and reprogramming our being to come into some different brainwaves, even if we can say it like that, literally just like altering the state of our being so that we can listen beyond the mundane. And this is what the altar helps us to do, right? You can have anything on your altar that you would like to commune with. And the more that we show up to the space, the more that the gate opens, the more that we get to pour our requests and our prayers and our blessings in. And then the gate is also open from the other side. And so the guidance can come in. As you were saying before we got on, like, wow, there was so much directive coming in.
Oh, I didn't have to plan a thing.
Totally.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt, but it was just so funny because this is where it gets to be so fun in your service work, where it's the witnessing and the listening, like you said, of Mother Mary's got me and that she's who wanted to come through. And it wasn't coming from my mind. It was like, no, this is the medicine. This is what gets to unfold. This is the conversation. Mm-hmm. And that, again, it's like, cool, take the pressure off. All right, I'll write it down. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think one of the pieces that you said in the beginning about the humility, yeah. I think this is a huge key to anything. But in this way, it's like the difference between commanding and demanding, for example. Mm-hmm. Like if I am just starting to open myself up to these ways, if I'm just starting to open an altar and learning how to read, like we got to have patience. And it takes humility to be patient. It's like, it's not going to happen because we want it to happen. It's going to happen because we allow it to happen.
Yeah.
And that allowing might take much longer than we are comfortable with. And so it's definitely...
You said mess with the magic on I think a previous teaching or episode. It was like, when you mess with the magic, like, right? Are you going to show up naked at your altar, which is really where are you... overstepping? Where are you trying to force your way and stronghold your way into what you're desiring or the questions that you'd like answered or the clarity or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. I love it. Mess with the magic. I'm like, yep. How many times a day do I still mess with the magic, right? It's a constant practice, like you said. And I love what you express because we're in this world, right? We're in the Aquarian age, which is information. And right, we have these devices that are constantly pulling our attention away from the subtle ethereal realms. And it does, it's almost like we got to go even deeper in the devotion and claim it even more. And because it's hard, like we're in the right, there's technology and there's all of these things that are pulling our attention. I'm a mother now. Talk about being in a portal of distraction. Mm-hmm. And the number of times that I've moved, and I remember, like at first it was like, all right, I got to do this thing. But then it was like, no, I get to have an anchor point. And we know through personal, right? It's science, it's personal development, but we know that when you're able to create something that anchors you, that you can continue to show up over and over again, even when you don't feel like it, even when you're at your knees or you're going through something devastating or you're distracted or there's a lot going on in your personal life, what you drove home in me in such a beautiful way that has never left me is that two-way line of communication, the anchoring, the listening and the witnessing, and the unwavering trust in what is, no matter what my mind is telling me and no matter what is happening in my external world. And so I really just want to have so much thanks for you for doing this deep work, because I know it's not easy.
Thanks, Mama. Yeah, it's so good. And you know what? It gets to be nourishing. I think that's also something that I love about the rosary, is that the rosary is literally designed for life, made to be stagnant, sitting in our sacred space, being quiet with no distraction, is actually literally the simplest prayer with a couple beads that you can do when you're doing your dishes or when you're feeding your babies or when you're driving to school and you're doing your thing. It is an active prayer for life. And the devotion comes into, can I just bring my mind there? Yeah. You know, can I do this? Can I live my full life? Can I be a mother of six children and still find the flow? Can I still connect into the Divine Mother? Can I still connect into spirit? And I think this is a huge part of the practice. So the moments where we get to just be quiet and sit at our altar and have complete focus, those are such precious moments. And then the moments where we actually get to like just connect into God while driving, while doing dishes, while changing diapers, those might be even more precious, because that's where we start to receive the nourishment in return. You know, the calm that I feel in my body when something is happening and I just do a couple Hail Marys, my whole system slows down and I can be more present for my life. So I think this is part of the two-way conversation, is not just giving, it's also receiving. How can this practice nourish me in return? Where is the nourishment come from? Okay, actually, I would really, like for me, I really benefit from a steady morning practice. I need it. My body needs it. And then there's moments where that's actually not what I need. And I can just put the rosary in my pocket and do my days or whatever it is for you. It doesn't have to be the rosary. Where actually the nourishment is, I turn on my candle. I say, thank you. I love you guys so much. Be with me on this day. And I go about in my day. Yes. So listening to our own needs, knowing that the connection is not determined by the things.
The production.
Yes, exactly. It's beautiful and it's powerful and it's valuable, but it's not the only way. It's not the one way. And it's not the right way, right? Yes. The right relation is, am I as many times as I can think of in a day, opening my heart, connecting to spirit. And if I don't know what that means, it's literally just finding a moment to say, thank you for my life. And really actually taking a moment, it can be 10 seconds, put your hands on your heart. Thank you for my life. No matter what is happening. Ooh. Life is precious. Mm. And just that can be enough to just boom, click us back into a bigger picture, into a softer space, into a more connected space.
Yeah, I feel like we're definitely calling in simplification in so many ways. And I feel like that's so much of what this show is about, especially now that I am a mother with a one-year-old, is the simplification of spirituality. And really there is no separation, right? Of if I'm at my altar or if I'm with my son or with my husband or podcasting. And I would be curious if you could answer this question as we dive into your beautiful offering that I would love for you to share, is those anchor points, right? Like that bookend my day, have helped create that stability of that devotion and showing up and that commitment over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then I got to bring it into when I'm doing the dishes or when I'm taking a walk with my son. I felt like it was a bit harder, right? It's like harder to have that like pattern interrupt when we're, and I'm going about my day and life gets messy and busy and, you know, other things are pulling at my attention. But having that anchor point to bookend my day morning and night helped create that foundation, which felt like that structure that was that I felt like I really needed to start to feel it and actualize it and embody it. And then it's like, oh, right now it's all the time. I was cleaning up. I was going to do a podcast episode about this. I was cleaning up my dog's shit outside and I had an influx. I was just outside. It was a warm day. One of the first warm days we had, I was just cleaning up poop. The baby was asleep and I felt so connected. I was having so much fun. Information was pouring in and it was just this monotonous thing that I do once a week. It was this meditative thing where I'm like, wow, could this really be it? Is this it? Have I cracked the code?
I mean, you're literally cleaning up the shit. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Right? And so I'm like, wow, I've been overcomplicating this, but I do. I'm curious to know. I saw you nodding your head. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that that really supports in then the dynamicism, in just having the rosary in the pocket, in just saying thank you as somebody cuts me off in the car and blessing them and giving them gratitude or whatever it is? I'm curious your thoughts on that.
I think all of it is, I think the most intimate thing that we have, our relationship with the divine, yeah. Whether you are deeply like super solid in that, or you're just dipping your toe in the pool possibility, this is the most intimate space. And so just to weave it back to the beginning of our conversation about radical responsibility, the question is, what do I need to connect in that way? Yeah. And if the real answer is, wow, I'm kind of in and out, then yeah, commit and do the next 40 days. I'm putting my butt in front of my altar or on my yoga mat, or I'm dancing every morning, whatever it is for you, and commit. Mm. The sacred commitment. The commitment is for you, right? The commitment is for me. It is for my being. God's always there. The universe is always there. The beings are always there. They're not waiting for us. They're just doing what they're doing. So we are the ones who get to remember and tune in. So in that way, I think for sure, especially initially, and then repeatedly, just to like really anchor it back in, I think devotion and a set time, like that can really help, right? Like we did the 40 days of devotion with fluorescence, and that's
accountability
also,
sometimes is helpful too with the 40 days of devotion too, right? It's like sometimes we need to call a friend.
Totally. Accountability, playtime, play partners, yeah. Fun.
Love it.
So yes, I think it's extremely beneficial. And again, at the end of the day, it comes down to what is really true for you, for this person, right? For me, this is my happy place. I want to be here every morning. And I've had through 40 days of devotions where after 10 days, I'm like getting itchy and I just want to do something else. Mm. Then I go anyway, because most likely there's something waiting for me there that my subconscious is avoiding. Whether it's actually like seeing a commitment through, or there's actually a pocket of like vulnerability I've been tapping into from just sitting and I don't really want to look at it, but I want to look at it.
Yeah.
So oh my gosh. It's holding ourselves accountable. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts we can give ourselves, is to understand that this is the conversation. The conversation is everything is always already there waiting for us. There's no forces in there that are like, well, I'm not going to give her that blessing. She didn't come to the altar.
Yeah.
It is us, our subconscious, our mind, what we think we are worthy of. There's no way Mother Mary's going, well, Lindsay, you asked for too many miracles this month. It's just not happening. It is abundant and infinite. So the practice is for us. The commitment, the devotion is for us to align our being, our hearts. And, you know, there's beautiful science behind it. 40 days helps to retrain the brain. So you get to create a new habit. Like there's actual... proof, so to speak, on why it would be a certain way. And that's really beautiful to dive into if you're a more intellectual person, you like those kind of facts. And if you're full hard being baby, then just commit and get the structure in and lean into that piece.
Thank you. Okay, so Mother Mary is very loud in my ear and wanting me to share what her message was for me today so that I could support all of you. Your attachment is what exhausts you, period. And my life's work sphere in the Gene Keys moves from exhaustion to divine will through the path of resolve. And so much of it is about the softening. And I was attached. I recorded a podcast episode today. My mic wasn't on. My baby was sleeping. Time is of the essence in this motherhood portal. And I was like, I had to scream into some pillows. Like I really, and then I went out to my altar, my outdoor altar. And that's what she said. And I do want to thank you, Reggie. And I think this is what she wants me to express to you is that I didn't feel connected to the church. You know, I grew up Catholic and went to Catholic school and I didn't feel a resonance. And then all of a sudden I found the goddess and was like, oh yeah, I'm done with all that. Right. And then Yeshua came to me in a ceremony out of the blue and blasted my heart wide open. And I will never forget that experience. I wasn't expecting it and I wasn't ready for it or prepared for it. And that's what initiated me into my deep, deep, deep healing of what the church and religion and Jesus means to me. Mm-hmm. And you entered my world and I busted out my great grandmother's rosary after meeting you and our worlds colliding and you sharing the way of the rose and what it actually means at its root and at its core. And I don't believe I would have done that if I hadn't met you. And it anchored me in deeper ways too. Where was I pushing this thing away or saying this wasn't for me? Because my mind told me I didn't need it anymore. I didn't feel it. And so I've been having these fun moments of kind of coming back. I found this crucifix I made when I was a kid out of I think it was out of clothespins, and I have it in my son's room. You know, it's just like bringing the rosary back. And there's a part of me that's like, maybe I want to go to church again and just see what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And I've also found that it's reconnected me to my family, where for a while I was like, I call myself the light sheep, you know? I felt different and I felt ashamed. Mm-hmm. And it's brought this sense of humility and compassion and connectedness. And I almost feel like there's a reverence now on both sides, like you said, in terms of I know what my truth is and I know what I feel in my body, and it's not my place to judge mm-hmm. who God or Jesus or Mother Mary is for other people. And so I just want to thank you for just the fact that you shared that, you know, when I see you, I'm like, oh, it's easy for Reggie. Like, this is just who she is. And for mm-hmm. you to express vulnerably mm-hmm. the places where you meet yourself at your growth edges and where you feel terror mm-hmm. to share your body of work. I just want you to know how it's deeply impacted me.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing. And I love that you're saying, even thinking about going back to the church. And even if it's just once to have like that hero's journey moment of like the return.
I feel like I'm going to love it because I'm going to feel the energy. It's like coming from such a different resonance, right?
And there's so many different types and, you know, whoever is preaching and
yeah,
so beautiful. I think this is part of the beauty of all of this, the point of all of this work for me, the altars and the rosary and the music and is that it's the alchemy like we were talking about. And I've been so humbled and inspired by so many of my dear friends who have gone through just horrible shit. And who come out shinier and wiser and more compassionate and more gentle and more beautiful, more powerful. And I used to get a lot of comments like, well, everything's just easy for you. I don't even know what to say to that. I've had a very full spectrum life. But I really believe that it's all here for a purpose. It's all curriculum. And so I'm very grateful for the depths, and I'm very grateful for grief, because I really believe that it carves us out and shows us the pockets where love is gone. And grief just has a particular way of taking us to the depths of the depths of the depths, where the true love really lives. And then just to bring that back to the integration, and then to our offerings and our relationships and our lives, and just to keep this cycle of transmutation and turn it into service. Like, at the end of the day, once we are whole again, even when we're not whole yet, but once we're available for a share, it's powerful, because like we said in the beginning, like, nobody escapes human life. Nobody. Mm. So let this work stabilize us and give us a place to come and receive and be nurtured and lay down and have a good friggin' deep sob, get it out, and be safe at the feet of the mother, the father, whoever, all of them. Yeah.
Thank you. And if you're desiring a little extra support in that generating of stability and anchoring into your altar, Reggie has a beautiful offering that we've kind of woven throughout this conversation, which initiation, perhaps because you were in quite the initiation and you're going to be going through in depths, creating an altar from the foundational levels and the why, which I believe is so important to understanding that two-way connection and feeling. Mm-hmm. Right. And that the altar is alive. So yeah, tell us about it, and I'll put everything in the show notes, but I would love to hear again from you what this course means to humanity and how it can serve during this time.
Thank you so much. It's a 7-month journey called Altar Work, the Initiation. And we're working with the 7 directions and building 7 altars. So each month is devoted to a particular direction, and literally the east, south, west, north, the above, the below, and the within. And these directions have been worked with, acknowledged, recognized throughout time, as long as we've been here, in all different cultures, because they are the laws of creation. They are the unchangeables. They've never been owned. They've never been twisted into something that they're not. They're just pure codes of information. And so we're working with this on a spiritual level, on opening ourselves up to the teachings to understand the building blocks of creation, aka the building blocks of our experience. We're going to build one altar per direction to bring it into our bodies, to bring it into a practice, and to create a personal relationship for us with these teachings. And how does that now impact my life? And this is absolutely beyond anything the most valuable thing that I have in my heart to share, because it is the cleanest form of wisdom that I've come across, because it's not connected to any particular religion, and so, or tradition, or even culture. So my joy for cross-cultural majesty means that we're touching on many different traditions and cultures, and bringing their wisdoms into this. And by the end of the 7 months, when you have this map in your conscious awareness, and we've spent a month with each of these gateways and with each of these altars, it has the capacity to create a sense of stability and belonging and purpose that is at the foundation of why I'm a functional human being, sensitive as I am. This is, for me, the one thing, if I could share one thing, it would be these teachings, because they have been there through all of it, and they've never left, and they've always just there to show us the way. And so it's a really sweet combo of these deeply mystical teachings and very practical embodied, like, how does that work on the day to day? And then we get to create infinite amounts of beauty and get our creativity on and our inner artist and create these altars and these gateways, these focal points for our devotion to work with it on a daily basis and see how that feels for us. So we're going to do live ceremonies every month as well. So you're going to learn ceremonies for fire and water blessings and all sorts of every direction has its own ceremony. And then another really sweet part, which I have to mention because it makes me so happy. We have the teachings, and then which is more the masculine space. And then we have the holding, which is the feminine space. And my mom, who is one of the most incredible beings on the planet, is holding down the Elder Lodge. And she's one of the wisest, sweetest, most compassionate beings that I know and very tapped in. And she is going to be there for our shares and to be seen and witnessed as we unearth all of these parts of ourselves. So we've got the teaching part, and then we've got the community element, which is so incredibly life-changing as well.
I'm so, in.
Yeah, we start on the equinox and we go to the next equinox. So we start March 21st and we go all the way to September 21st. And we get this really powerful two gateways to hold us through this transformational journey.
Oh my goodness. It's so fun seeing you in your magic. And just again, to kind of close the loop on when I asked who you be in the world, right? It was like all, I think you said beauty and connection, right? It's like, this is it. It's a living embodiment of everything that you are and that you cherish and that lives inside of you. And I'm just so excited to share this. So you're also generously offering 10% off to our community with code LME10 for Lindsay Martin LS10. We'll put everything in the show notes. Riverbear_medicine on Instagram is a beautiful way to find Reggie and to
also
go
to
check out
the course. Yeah,
the link to find there. The course. Yeah, what's the website? I mean, we'll put it in the show notes, but it's on your website too. What's your website again?
It's riverbearmedicine.com.
You can also check out her Spotify. You can just like entrain yourself with all that is Reggie Riverbear in terms of the music, the beauty, the art, the wisdom. So thank you so much for taking this time. If you're listening to this, I invite you to go on YouTube and just check out the glorious altar that is the background of Reggie right now. I feel like rainbow light just follows you everywhere you go. Rainbow street, baby.
Totally. Last year was such a hard year. And then I did my little recap for the year, which I'd never done before. And it was just a glorious rainbow movie at the end. And I was like, okay, even if I don't feel like it, it's always there.
Thank you. And thank you again for sharing. Yeah. The shadowy parts and the parts that often most people don't see when we have that snapshot on social media or when we're teaching a course, right? To really go there and show what it takes to be in devotion and to be committed. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation. And thanks for having been on this journey with me for almost 2 years now. That's so incredibly magical. Thank you for opening your time and your space here and your beautiful community that you've cultivated. Come and play. Come and play.
I'm going to look at it. I'm like, really, I was like, can I do this as a mama? You know, cause time is of the essence, but I'm going to look at all the deliverables and like the dates and how everything lines up and talk to my husband, because especially the ceremony piece, just the ceremony piece, like there's something around wanting to dive deeper into ritual itself. And that feels like the next evolution and layer for me is to go a little bit deeper in the practice.
Yeah. Let's go. And can we do a pinky swear right now that you're going to post your dance
video? I'm like, how do we do it? Virtual. I know where you're asking me.
I'm talking about the dance video, Lindsay.
I'm getting shy. That's
look,
why I
posted
it.
That song thinking I might die. If I jump, you jump, girl. Let's go.
Well, and I want it to, anyways, yes, I just see it spreading like wildfire because I can reshare that. I'm like, I can just see it. It's going to go viral in the best way. And I do, it's an activation. And the fact that you shared that you were terrified, I get to do what terrifies me. And whenever I share what terrifies me on social media is the most engaged posts I ever get and the ones that deeply touch people. And it's because I'm in my truth and I'm in my essence. And so I get to stretch as well because you stretch. So thank you for the invitation. I'm going to do it even though I'm scared.
It's going to be fabulous.
Because also it's like, you know, it's an intimate part of my life that I don't often share publicly. And I've done it in these little pockets of time where for me, it's like I go in waves where it's like it's time to show myself again. And it's more about, can I be in my fullest expression and not be ashamed and not care what people think, which is a really hard thing because sometimes people are really mean on the internet.
It is, but it's also the like real program. Even what you said coming out of the Catholicism is like shame is like right there at the top, the number one. So in you posting your dance video, it's also you offering that, you know, that piece on the altar is like, okay, actually I'm free. I'm a beautiful woman and I love to dance. And here it is.
And this is me dancing my prayers. And this is, yes. this is prayer to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm doing it. I'm going to
tag me.
Of course, I'm going to tag you. And yeah, it feels, it came through. So I'm going to trust it because I know that that means that there's something on the other side of it. And we'll see what happens.
It's always the sweet spot, right? Where it's like, I kind of want to shit my pants because it's so scary. But at the same time, I also kind of am excited. And it's like that little moment where the magic happens.
And the excitement is because it's like, this is who I am. And I know that's also the Aquarian age energy too, where it's like, we all just want to be that individuated expression of God. And so again, you doing that and showcasing that and sharing that activated something in me to go back to my roots of like, wait, who am I? How do I pray? What does this look like for me? And what if other people, what if it resonates with other people that are like, oh yeah, that's me too. All right, my love, I feel like we could go on forever, but I'll make sure to put everything in the show notes, reach out to Reggie and myself, let us know what landed, connect with us about initiation, this 7-month journey, equinox to equinox. So exciting. I appreciate your heart, your service, your time. Thank you so much, Reggie.
Thank you, Lindsay. And thank you to everyone who's listening. Thank you for your time. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for being aligned with this work that Lindsay's providing and with the altars and all the magic. We love you so much and we send blessings to you and your family and all of your own projects and all of your own agents. Big, big, big loving blessings to all of you.
Thank you. Much love. Thank you for your presence and tuning in today. I believe in the power of reciprocity, so if you found value from this episode, I invite you to share the love. There are endless ways to do so, including leaving a rating and written review on Apple, forwarding the episode link to a loved one, reaching out to me on social media to say hi at Lindsay Martin Ellis, or sending me a love note via email at lindsay@lindsaymartinellis.com. I so appreciate you and your support. It's truly what keeps me going. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Lindsay Martin Ellis Experience. Much love.